There's times where the Lord gives you something and you just don't want to preach it. But I love Him, and I love you tonight. Turn with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And I want to look at the 6th verse. Been trying to preach for, I guess, about 18 years now somewhere. I don't think I've ever preached on this. I believe in preaching the whole counsel of God. Amen. This is Jesus doing the speaking. He says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Jesus again was doing the speaking, and I believe He was talking to some individuals. I feel just like Mephibosheth tonight. He came to David and he said, "Why would you look at such a dead dog as me?" There was a woman of Canaan. She came to Jesus and said, "My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Jesus had went to Tyre and Sidon, and those were Gentile places. And He went there and she said, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And you know what Jesus did? He ignored her. He kept walking by her and He told her, "I'm not supposed to go to anywhere but the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And she continued to press upon Him and beg Him and plead with Him on behalf of her daughter. And He said, "It's not meet for me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." She said, "But yea, Lord, even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." He said, "Woman, your faith is great. Go on, your daughter will be healed." She realized that she was a dog. I believe Jesus is referring to the Gentile people here, to the people who didn't deserve the gospel. He said, "Don't give that which is holy unto dogs." I believe there's nothing more holy than God Himself, than His only begotten Son. And even the holy Word of God tonight is holy. It's holy tonight. He said, "Don't give it unto dogs." And I don't want you to get a false picture of what their dogs were in this time period. They were ravenous beasts. They weren't something that you'd have in your home sitting in your lap. They were venomous, and they really were ravenous. They really went after people. He said, "Don't give that which is holy to the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before the swine." Jesus also told us about a man who was a pearl searcher. He was searching for pearls and he found a pearl of great price. And he sold everything he had to buy that one pearl of great price. I'm glad that when I was just a boy that I gave everything I had. I didn't have anything, but I gave everything I have to find the pearl of great price. I found the Lord. I found Him. I found His truth. And He's saying, don't cast your pearls. What is so holy and perfect and pure before the swine? Swine also were an unclean animal. The Jewish people weren't allowed to eat that, and they hated that, and they despised that. And it was, I believe, pointing to us, the Gentile people. He was saying, don't cast those pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet. You know what that word trample, if you look up the original Greek, it means to reject with disdain. Sometimes it's a little deeper than what you think it might be. He said, don't cast that truth, that holy word to those that would reject it with disdain, that they would consider it so unworthy of even notice or care or regard or esteem. There are people in this revival that have been rejecting the pearl of great price. They've been rejecting it. He said, don't cast it to those that would reject it unless they trample it or reject it and they come and rend you. What does it mean to rend? That they might break you, or wreck or crack you, tear you. I've been torn by people that have rejected the gospel. I can't imagine how bad my father feels. I hurt when people reject the message that God has sent. I try my best to put it all that I can in it. I want God to be honored and glorified, and I want it to work. And it hurts me. I know it hurts him. I know it hurts him. You see, he's saying, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Tonight, our message is to keep on walking. This is not an easy message for me to try to preach, but I want to preach what God has given me. 10th chapter of Matthew, Jesus had called his 12 and he sent them forth. He said, go not into the way, this is the 5th verse, of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe he told them that first because I believe that was the most important purpose that they had, was to preach the gospel. Preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. I believe those gifts died with the apostles. They had those gifts. But the gift of preaching the gospel is still here. I believe that. You may not know and you may not believe I've been called, but I can take you to a little church house over here in New Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. As a 15-year-old boy, I know I've been called to preach. I wouldn't be preaching if I didn't. Listen, he says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. This is a part we want to get to here tonight. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And listen to what he says. This is Jesus speaking. He said, and whosoever shall not receive you. You know, when you reject the man of God and the message of the gospel, you're rejecting God. You're rejecting Jesus. He said, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. How dangerous that it is to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a dangerous, a very dangerous day and age in which we live in. And I think it shows the signs of the times, how people can hear the gospel and it can just roll off their back and they don't want to do anything with it. I want you to know you may do that tonight and you may have the ability to reject the message of the gospel. God has made you a free will being, but I want you to know something tonight. It will be
more tolerable for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah than for you in judgment. And for you. I believe it means that Sodom and Gomorrah will have a less severe punishment than you that reject the gospel. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, let's turn and look back in Genesis about what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. People don't want to hear about this today, do they? It's in there. God told Abraham what he was going to do. He said, I don't want to hide it from him. I promised to bless him. I promised through his seed that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That's Jesus who he was talking about. But he promised him, and he wanted to let him know about Lot, his nephew. He wanted to let him know about what was going to take place because of the sin that he had heard of the cry coming up from Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he had a conversation with Abraham, and he told him, he said, would you destroy that city if there be 50 righteous people there? And he kept working on him, and he got him down to 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Boy, Abraham was bold to talk to God that way. I don't know if I could do that, but I think he was concerned about Lot. Yeah. If we'd be concerned about our lost people, we'd plead with God like Abraham did. Be merciful, please, Father, just a little bit longer. And I believe God is merciful. That's why we're here tonight. He's giving you one more opportunity. I don't know if you'll have another, but we've got one more at least. And he went there. He sent those angels, the first of that chapter. In the 19th chapter, it says they were two angels. It was they were. And they went there to see what was going on in the city. And they got out to the outside of the city. And they said, we're just going to sit out here and just see what takes place in the city. And Lot, he was there at the entering of the gate. And he said, no, you probably better come to my house. You probably better come and hide inside of my house. And they said, no, we want to stay outside. No, come inside my house. And so they did. He made them a big feast and cooked them unleavened bread. And he wanted them to eat and to have a good time and to stay the night and enjoy themselves. But there came a knock on the door. All the men of the city compassed the door about. Compassed the door about because they wanted him to bring those men out to him that he might know them intimately, that they might know him in a way that we would call today homosexuality. You say, don't say that. They're hearing it everywhere else. We might as well tell the truth tonight. Now listen, that's what it was. And those men were there wanting to break down the door, and Lot came out there. And he told them, I tell you, Lot was vexed with the filthy communication of the wicked. He was vexed with them. This was a saved man. He was a saved man living in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you are too. And if you're not careful, everything you put in your mind and put in your heart of this garbage, it'll vex your soul. You won't know the difference. Lot didn't know the difference, to the point that he said, don't do that. Don't do that. These men came in here. They're my guest. He said, here, I've got two little virgin daughters. You take them and you do as you would see fit with them. They didn't want to have anything to do with that. They tried to break down the door. Lot was there. They tried to just pin him up against the door, about ready to kill him, about ready to deal with him. And those angels grabbed him, I believe, by the collar, pulled him in the door, shut the door, and those men blinded them, every one of them. Young and old men, all there at the edge of the city. They were there. And you know what? Instead of being worried about being blind, they tried to find the door. We're living in it, folks. We're living in it. And it's still sin. It's still, I believe it grosses God out. It grosses me out. It's wrong. It's sin. It's against the nature of God that has made us in, male and female. You know what happened? 12th verse. And the men said unto Lot, these were those angels that referred to them as men here. The men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, get up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. God sent those 12 out. He told them, he said, I want you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He sent them out, but as Jesus died on the cross, was buried in the grave, arose in 3 days, he gave a commission to his church, and it wasn't just to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Thanks be unto God, it was to all the world. You and me, you and me. Those old dogs, those old swine. I'm thankful I realized I was a dog. Why nothing. Don't deserve. I'm still just an old dog, but I've been saved by God's grace. I'm glad. He taught me some new tricks. I'm glad. Saved my soul. Listen, Jesus sent him out into all the world to go and share the message, how to carry those pearls with you and to share with everybody how the pearl of great price is none other than Jesus, the Savior of the world. He is the one you need to be looking to. And what those men were to do was to carry it to all the world. And you see, Lot, he should have been preaching righteousness. He should have been living in the center of God's will. And if he'd have been where he needed to be, his son and lost would have believed him. Where are we at today? Do they believe our report? They won't all. The Lord told through Isaiah, said, Lord, who hath believed our report? They won't all believe, but I'm glad there's a few. There's a few that will. That's who we're going for tonight. I don't know who won't believe. I'm tired of casting pearls before swine, I can tell you that. I'm tired of casting them to people that won't listen. Amen. Here on Lot, he went there. He told his son-in-laws, up. Can you hear his voice? Get up. Get out of bed right now. It is time to go. It's time to go. They thought they were living in Eden. It was the best pasture. It was the prettiest place. It had the best of everything, they thought, down in the sweet valley where the waters had just watered that pretty green pastures that were there. You know what Sodom and Gomorrah is today? It's the Dead Sea. There ain't nothing there. It's gone. Listen. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. I'm afraid that's what people think us preachers are some days. I'm afraid that's what people think that saved people are today. You're just mocking us. You're pulling our leg. Lot was crazy. Place going to be destroyed. Doesn't make much sense. I sure hope the Lord doesn't come back tonight. But if he does, that word will stand. Amen. And it'll be the truth. Amen. And I won't be telling you I told you so. Amen. But it's the truth. Amen. Listen, When the morning arose and the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, can you just imagine, he was holding on for hope that those son-in-laws would come on. He said, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. God is merciful. He's still merciful. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. He told them, keep on walking and don't look back. Keep on walking and don't look back. Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near unto flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. I believe that those that are ready, when the Lord comes back, I don't think we're going to have to experience the burning of this world. I think God's going to take us out and we'll be there in His arms. He'll take care of us. But you that are left behind, how sad it'll be. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that were which grew upon the ground. But His wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She became a pillar of salt. I want to encourage God's people tonight. I want everybody to come with us, and I want everybody to be saved. But we have got to get the message to those who hear it. There's people out there that are hungry for the gospel and they want it. We can see it happening. I went to a missions conference and a brother back there can tell you there's people all over this world that are hungry for this tonight. They're hungry for the truth. And we have it on a golden platter handed to us day in and day out. You travel these roads, there's a sound church on about every corner. And people just don't want it. You know what? God's going to send it to who wants it. He's going to send it to who'll hear it. Lot's son-in-laws wouldn't hear it. They wouldn't listen. You say they only had one night to get a chance. You may only have one night to get a chance to get things right with God. That's all that they had. And you know what? If God takes you out tonight and you end up in hell, He gave you a chance. And He's just in sending you there. He's just in it. God told him. He said, keep on walking. Don't you look back on those places where I've delivered you from. Save children of God If God has saved you and He's put you on the path towards Canaan land, why in the world are you looking back on Egypt? There ain't nothing there for you. If you keep looking back to it, are you going to want to go back like the children of Israel did? They said, we wish we had the onions and the leeks and all the good food that was back there, and I'm so low that this light bread, I tell you, just give me some shoes that won't wear out and some clothes to wear, and give me a little bread from heaven, and I'll make it home one of these days. I'll make it home, and my shoes, they won't wear out, and my clothes, they'll be okay, because I'm wearing a robe of righteousness, and I'm going home. There ain't nothing for you on Egypt. There's nothing back there. You say, what was wrong with that mama who was concerned? I love my mother-in-law. She's here tonight. I'm sure she might have thought, I love my son-in-law. And she might want to look back. But I'm telling you, folks, we're too busy looking back on everybody that's behind us. We need to start looking to those that are in front of us. She wouldn't have to worry about me anyways. But she turned back, became a pillar of salt. I think it's kind of ironic that it's the Dead Sea now and it ain't but nothing but salt there. Listen, God has called you to go forward. I don't know if we'll keep having meetings. I hope this meeting just keeps on rolling. However the Lord sees fit, I'm here for whatever. But I want you to know this. When it's done, it's done. It may be it tonight. This might be your last opportunity to seek the Lord and be saved. Listen what Jesus said in the 9th chapter of Luke. He said, and it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Sound like a lot of saved people today are supposedly saved people. People that get saved. I've grew up in a day and age where it seems like people get saved. A lot of them either unite with the Lord's church. Now they won't even unite with the Lord's church. And then you never see them again. I believe that they're known by their fruits. And if people are truly saved, you're going to bear some fruit, folks. Amen. If you're truly a child of God, you'll at least tell somebody about being saved, and you'll show some evidence of the death, burial, and resurrection that took place inside of your heart. You'll show that. Listen, this man said, I'll go wherever you send me, Lord. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I'm not here telling you some health and wealth gospel tonight. I'm not telling you it's going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be a bed of roses. It's going to be a tough walk. It's not going to be easy. But if you're on the straight and narrow path with Jesus, that He started that when He saved your soul, it'll be worth it in the end. You'll be able to make it home and be with the Lord and be eternity in heaven, and then it will be a bed of roses. It'll be the best that it's ever been. It'll be that. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus kind of hard on this response here. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. I'm afraid we get so hung up on people. I don't want this to be taken the wrong way tonight at all, because I'm just preaching what the Lord put on my heart. But I want you to know there are people that want to be saved. And we want you to be saved. But at some point, we may have to move on to the next person that's willing to listen. I know that's harsh, and I know it may seem hurtful. But there's only a set time that you have, and I've only got a little while I'm here. And I've got to reach every person that I can that needs to know about Jesus. every one of them. And if people, if our pearls are not good enough for you, they're good enough for somebody. My pearl of great price, he's precious to me. I love him with all my heart. And when people reject him, it hurts me, and I know it hurts him. And so I want to get it in the hands of somebody that thinks it's precious. Somebody that's willing to sell everything they have, to let go of everything they have, and hold on to him. I'm telling you, you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to let go of everything. He said, let the dead go bury the dead. What did that mean? Go let some unsaved person go over there and take care of your daddy. He's done gone where he's going to go. He's gone where he's going to go. You go out here and preach to somebody that'll listen. Preach to somebody that'll listen. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. He said, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. You know, old Elisha did that. He did, but he followed the Lord. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Too many people looking back today. Too many people looking back. Folks, we don't have anything to look back to. There was a bunch of them when Jesus was talking to them and teaching them about how they would have to take and eat of him and drink of him. He wasn't talking about physical things. He was talking about spiritual. That's how you get saved. It's a spiritual thing inside your soul. But there was a whole bunch of followers that left because it just bothered them. Might be some people bother them tonight. They might want to come back. But you know what? A bunch of them left. It hurt Jesus. I know it did. He looked at his followers. He looked at Peter. Y'all going to leave me too? Tonight, I think the Lord asked that of us. Are we going to leave him too? Are we going to leave him too? I'm telling you, I don't know where else to go. I don't know where to go tonight, folks. He's all I got. He's all I know. He's all I've got. And I'm just trying to hold on to him, trying to show you Jesus. We don't have anywhere else to go tonight, folks. It's just Jesus. We don't need to go anywhere else. Now, Jesus told his disciples in that limited commission that he wanted them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They did. They did exactly what he told them to do. But I want you to know what happened when he went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Many of them did not listen. They trampled upon the pearls. They trampled it. They rejected it. They hated it. They disdained it. I didn't want to have anything to do with the pearl of great price because he didn't look like a pearl to them. He wasn't the way that they expected. He wasn't riding on the white horse and taking charge like David did. He wasn't the king that they expected. He was just a meek and lowly man that came into this world. Just a normal man. Wasn't who they expected. Boy, he's a pearl of great price to me. Pearl of great price. You know what happened in the first chapter of John? It tells us in the 11th verse, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. Tonight, you can do one of two things. You can accept the message. You can't accept Jesus. He has to accept you. But you can accept the message. The Bible calls it receiving. It does call it receiving him. We even got that in our church covenant. We have that. I believe you need to receive the message of the gospel. You need to let it penetrate deep in your heart. And it's two options. You can receive it or you can reject it. You can push it away or you can receive it and allow it to just work in your heart. And you can receive that in, and you can let God do his work, and you can believe that. But God's going to have to help you. Or you can reject it. These Jewish people, the ones that weren't called the dogs, the children that Jesus referred to, they rejected the gospel. They rejected, didn't they? A few of them did get saved, thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord, some of them got saved. And listen what he says. He came into his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him. That's what the scripture says. I'm not adding anything, taking anything away. As many as received him. I want you to think about that pearl of great price. Who the Lord is tonight. To them gave he power. He gave them the ability. That's the only way you get saved, is if he gives it to you. The power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's how you get saved. God gives you the power. He gives you the ability to become saved. He's the one that does that. But you first have to receive him. You've got to receive him, is what the scripture says. I'm not trying to take anything and add anything away. I'm not trying to be modern. I don't believe in all that mess. What I'm saying is you have to trust in him. You have to believe in him. You have to want him. You have to desire him. And what you're doing right now is rejecting him. If you'll receive him, desire him, want him, just like the scripture says, he will give you the power to become a child of God. He does that. Repentance and faith are necessary for you to be saved. That's necessary, but he will do that. He will help you to do that in order for you to be saved. He'll do that. The Jews rejected, many of them did. Rejected. I want to ask you a question. Where is the Jewish nation today? They've rejected, haven't they? Some 2,000 years ago, they have rejected the gospel. They've rejected it, and he tells us in the Roman letter, he said, he tells us this in the 22nd verse of the 11th chapter of Romans. He said, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell." Those Jewish people, severity. God was severe with them. They had rejected his only son, and he just cast them out. That's what he did. They rejected it. "But toward thee, goodness." Who? The dogs. The swine. Unworthy. You're not worthy of salvation tonight. I just want you to know. But when you believe in Jesus, you become worthy. Amen. Listen. "Toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness." Remember that, God's children. "Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off." We as God's people, we must keep walking. We must keep walking. We saw the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God rained fire and brimstone upon those people in that day. And Lot had one responsibility for his family, and that was to walk out of there and not look back. And we as God's people need to keep doing that. We're headed home to the Lord. We've got to move forward for him, and that means getting the gospel to people who hear it. People who hear it. When they won't, what did Jesus say to do? This is a youth revival, isn't it? Basically, he said, "Dust your shoulders off." You youth know what I'm talking about. At least you would have. Used to. Dust off. It might seem a little funny, but it ain't going to be funny in judgment. Because that dust that you are, basically, I don't want to think about dusting you off. But my heart is on a whole world of people that need to know about Jesus. I'm going to keep praying for you as long as I can, as long as the Lord will allow me to. But I'll just tell you, there's people that need to hear about Jesus, and I've got to get to them. I've got to do all I can to reach them with the help of the Lord. And if you're a child of God, you do too. You've got to keep on walking. And when people don't listen, we got to dust them off. And you know what happens? They will have a more sore punishment in judgment than Sodom and Gomorrah, of those homosexual cities that were destroyed by God. You will stand with the fury of God's wrath. And I want you to know this tonight. It's already on you. already on you. That's why you feel the way you do. But if you'll turn to Jesus, He'll take all that away. Tonight, from this day forward, keep walking forward. Don't look back. This was a hard message for me to preach tonight because I love every lost person. I can't think and fathom of the thought of shaking the dust off my feet at you and God making you answer for that in judgment. But I'm a watchman, and a watchman can only blow and sound the trumpet. It's up to you to take the warning. And when you don't take the warning, the blood's on your hands. God bless you tonight. Let's have a song. Everybody keep walking to the people that'll listen. Keep on walking and keep presenting the gospel to them. People that'll listen, that'll hear. And let's beg God to plead with those that need to hear, that need to heed the warning. Go ahead, brother.